your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, hockey fans, it is Wednesday, which means it is time for Western-ish Conference Wednesday here on Locked On NHL. Today's show, by the way, before we get into any of the real meat of the show, today's show is brought to you by Locker Room. You can download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, it is changing the way we talk sports. Right now, though, we're going to talk sports. My name is Sarah Avampato. I am here joined, as always, by Tom Gazzola, who is my weekly partner in crime as we investigate what is going on around the league. And today we're going to start out with some breaking news that came up just a couple hours before we started recording here on Tuesday afternoon-ish. And that is the Philadelphia Flyers sending a message by waiving Shane Gostisbehere, and who has been underperforming maybe, or maybe the whole team is underperforming, but he is on waivers, and let the frenzy begin. Everyone on Twitter wants their team to pick him up. So Tom, where do you think he's going to wind up, or is he still going to be a Flyer come, noon tomorrow?
Oh, this is interesting. And maybe they've just reached a boiling point with Gostisbehere, who's been a pretty good defenseman. I know his point totals haven't been particularly great, especially last year. This year, a little bit better, but the Flyers have had some wild swings in their season, and I'm trying to figure out and decipher, Sarah, if this is cap gymnastics and roster flexibility like we've seen generally around the league in the earlier parts of the season, or if this is, like you said, indeed a message being sent that mediocrity will not be tolerated. And perhaps the Flyers looking to free up some cap space and willing to part ways with Shane Gostisbehere for nothing instead of trying to find a deal for him. I'm not sure where they're at. To me, it's interesting. We've heard that the talks around the league in regard to trades have been generally pretty quiet. Maybe this is a way to shake things up, but For the majority of his career, he's been a pretty good defenseman offensively. Yeah, he's had some ugly plus-minus years, and read what you want into plus-minus these days. It's not the be-all, end-all, but it's a bit of an indicator. Yeah, this one caught me off guard, and I do think that there's a greater chance that another team takes a shot on Gostisbehere. I'm not sure who. I mean, here in Edmonton, they would love another left-shot defenseman that could be like a 4 or 5 defenseman. And I think Gostisbehere would fit in nicely there. However, no cap space here. And they have a couple of young left shot defensemen that are establishing themselves in the National Hockey League. So maybe Florida looks at a Gostisbehere after a gruesome injury to their captain or something like that. A team that's got some space to work with and wants a little extra zip from the back end and thinks that maybe the ghost can do that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I feel like this year has been wild in general in terms of players who have been put on waivers. I mean, we started the season out with a bang with Tampa putting Tyler Johnson on waivers, and it's only gotten weirder from there. I think the big issue is going to be his cap hit, which is $4.5 million, which, is reasonable for a defenseman who is, supposed to be one of your top defensemen. Hardly any teams have enough cap space. And which I know is why, at least from the Kings world, from my side of things, Kings fans all over Twitter just sat right up and were like, hey,
yeah,
hey, Rob Blake, it's not, it wouldn't be a bad move. The sense I'm getting from like the real insiders, quote unquote, is that the Kings won't do it. And they're far enough down the waiver wire that enough other teams could get a shot at him first. But for a team that has been talking about looking for a younger left side defenseman who, is in that sort of in-between range of not a rookie, but also not, the Dustin Browns of the world. I mean, he fits all of that, just maybe not quite as good defensively as a defenseman that he should be, which is always wild to me. I'm like, but that's it's in your job title is defense. but okay. But yeah, I feel like there's enough teams that would want him that don't have the salary cap room for him that I could also see nothing happening and then a trade coming a couple of days later. But there are teams all over the league who would love a guy like that. And as you mentioned, Aaron Ekblad is out for the rest of the season with the Florida Panthers with a, I believe they said like leg fractures.
Yeah.
Which is even more gruesome than initially thought. It happened in a play where, you know, I saw that he had to be stretchered off. I hadn't seen the play happen in real time. And then I watched the replay of it real quick and I was like, he twisted something, or it looked at first like he had hit his back against the boards. And so I was like, maybe, you know, just hit a nerve or whatever. And then the replay shows it in slow motion and you see it again and again, and you see his leg going in a direction that it should not go in. And just a brutal loss for the Panthers, who, as we have talked about a lot on this show, have really surprised people with where they're at in the standings. Ekblad himself had been having a little bit of a resurgence this season. You know, he kind of came on as a real hot rookie and then trailed off with some rough Florida Panthers teams. But he is out for the season. So, you know, when you think of the Panthers and you think of what they need to do to stay competitive and to stay in this playoff race, you know, what do you think that their best move is in terms of filling that gap? Is it something they should look internally, or they look to waivers like we can see right now with Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think it's worth exploring to see if they can make, well, now the cap space should fit for them. And they already had a little bit of wiggle room to play with anyway. The other thing too, is there's a couple years left on Gostisbehere at $4.5 million. He's 27 years old. And kind of to what you're saying in regard to blue liners that are known more so for their offensive ability as opposed to what they can do defensively. And there's this assumption that offensive defensemen generally are poor defensively. And listen, hey, there's no denying that that tends to be the case. But like Aaron Ekblad, you talked about this, there's been ebbs and flows in his career. There's ebbs and flows in the careers of guys like Gostisbehere as well. Basically, when you are paired up with a good defenseman, or you're on a strong team that's not playing in its own zone all the time, or you have a good goalie back there that can bail you out when need be, that generally makes your defense look better. And I'll use another prime example right here in my backyard, and that's Tyson Barrie. Even on my pre and post game show, we still get the odd text here and there, people knocking his defensive ability. But he has been excellent, not only offensively, but in his own zone. The hustle's noticed. Yeah, he gets burned from time to time, but Mike Smith, Mikko Koskinen are usually there. And nobody generally is ripping on his defensive game. Like I said, just a few texts here and there. But a guy like Gostisbehere or a guy like Ekblad, you get him into the right position, or the team hits a certain maturation point where it figures out team defense, zone time in the offensive zone, the goalie's reliable back there, and all of a sudden, those poor defensive numbers start to sway in the other direction and things look better and better. And all of a sudden you're going, well, he's not so bad on the defensive side of things. Look at this. Look at that. Look at his offensive heat map. Look at his time in this zone, his zone stars, blah, blah, blah. It's just funny. It's a pendulum that just goes back and forth. And a lot of times, however good your team is, that success drags you along, or that lack of success also drags you down. And perhaps we're seeing that with Gostisbehere. And then on the flip side, with Ekblad having a resurgence, like you said, maybe it's because that team is pretty damn good. And he's a key part of that. But it also brings with it the positive numbers and the better look and the well-deserved attention.
We've got more of the latest news from across the NHL coming up after this. First, though, I want to tell you more about Locker Room. Locker Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations all about hockey. You're going to find fans just like you on Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns. Some of our Locked On colleagues have had like Mighty Ducks watching parties. So really anything you can think of, someone is on Locker Room talking about it. You can even find Locked On hosts from across the NBA, MLB, and of course NHL. So if you're not just a hockey person, chances are the Locked On host for your other favorite teams is also doing a Locker Room. I'm not there yet. I'll be joining as soon as I can, and I'm excited to get to meet all of you guys in person, quote-unquote, once I'm up and running on Locker Room. For now, though, you can go and download the free Locker Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the NHL group for the latest league updates. I know you're going to find a ton of incredible rooms around your favorite teams and leagues, and I can't wait to join you all there. Some of our other Locked On NHL hosts are already on there, so keep an eye out for more information on when you can find us on Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app today. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. We've also got Built Bar to talk about, because if you have somehow missed it, if you don't know already, Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. It is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high fiber, high protein, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all of the bars. Now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. That is right, it is Built Bar Madness. You can go online and vote for your favorites. I personally am rooting for Cookies and Cream to go the whole way to the championship. It is my favorite Built Bar flavor. I've even been like testing this theory by trying some other Built Bars to be like, did I make up my mind too early? Like, and the answer still is no, that Cookies and Cream is still my hands down choice winner for the whole thing. So you can go online, check out Built Bar Madness at BuiltBar.com. Vote for your favorite Built Bar. Also find Built Bar on Twitter at @bar_built. Keep up with all of the latest news, sales, and all that stuff on your social media. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com, and check back to see who's won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. Also, you can get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Now let's check out some more NHL news. Yeah, I mean, I feel like his first bit of time in the league, Ekblad spent a lot of time with Willie Mitchell, who is, you know, your quintessential stay-at-home defenseman, not flashy, but, you know, gets the job done defensively. Mitchell, of course, was in kind of the twilight of his career during those times, but, you know, did it maybe make Ekblad look like a stronger defender because of who he was paired with? Possibly. But he really seems to be coming into his own this year. And, you know, he's another guy who feels like he's been in the league forever. And yet he is still so young. You know, he just happens to have a face that looks like he's constantly been, you know, in his mid 30s. He's just 25 and has been in the league for a while. And we all know defensemen take longer usually to, there's always your exceptions of superstars, but they take a little longer to get it all figured out. And, you know, it's really disappointing to see a good season like this for him end in just a freak accident, just a weird play. Do you think that they'll be okay without him, or is this sort of a grit your teeth and hang on until the end of the season situation for the Panthers?
I think that just given the momentum that they've built, the talent that that team does have, what it has been able to do as a whole, could, you know, provide a stopgap quick fix for that mega hole that's left behind with him out. Don't get me wrong. That's like, you know, chopping off one of your legs at the knee, but they've got a pretty strong other leg to stand on. And I think that although it'll hurt them and ultimately in the long run, it might lead to their downfall, they're still going to be a good team. I think they're still going to march their way into the postseason and maybe make a little bit of noise even without them.
Well, they are still doing their best right now. And we're going to close by looking at a little bit of movement that has been happening in the standings, because for a while, not just us, but really anyone talking about hockey was like, well, Nashville's done. So they're just done. Well, guess what? They have won 7 of their last 10. The Blackhawks, who had inexplicably wound up in a playoff spot on based off of like Kevin Lankinen, the goalie no one has known, standing on his head, have lost 7 of their last 10. So they have swapped spots. Nashville is back up in a playoff spot. Florida is 6-4 in their last 10, losing a little bit of that space that they had between them and some other teams, but there's still a 10-point gap essentially between them and Nashville. And the Predators are surprising everyone in the fact that they are suddenly back in this. And it might actually be the worst possible thing for the Predators is to fool everyone into thinking that they do not need to rebuild or to start moving out some assets.
I'm surprised by this because I was one of those people saying they're done, start rebuilding, blow it up. What's going to happen? Now, all of a sudden, they've vaulted themselves back into the mix. Poor Chicago, you know, but that's kind of something we expected, too, is them to come back down to reality a little bit. And in the midst of all of this, there's Columbus just barely treading water, which is unbelievable to me. Clearly, something's not right there. I'll still say that there's a glimmer of hope for the Dallas Stars. They've played a ton of overtime games. They've played less games than pretty much everyone in their division. They have some games in hand on Nashville and Chicago. If they take advantage in this very compacted schedule that they now have to deal with, they could still be the dark horse to sneak into the four hole. And I don't see them doing too well in a Stanley Cup rematch in the first round, which is bizarre to say, but we're in a bizarre year. But I could still see them, given their experience, talent, and runway that they have left, Sarah, I could still see them making a push and maybe sneaking away with that fourth place spot in the Central Division. And, you know, Nashville and Chicago finish up as pretenders, as we alluded to many, many times on this program.
There is more coming your way from me and Tom coming up right after this. First, though, let's talk Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football is over, of course, but the NBA, college basketball, and of course, us here at the NHL are all in full swing. And if sports betting isn't entirely your thing, well, Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag, promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Be a waiver wire winner with daily fantasy hockey advice from Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Our expert Scott Cullen gives you the tips, insights, and analysis for season-long Dynasty and DFS League. Follow the Locked On Fantasy Hockey podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Yeah, Dallas is going to be really interesting to watch because, yeah, they do seem like the only team, you know, that has been out of the race for a while that has a chance of making some chaos, at least for some other teams. Or if they don't make it in themselves, they're going to make it real interesting for every other team that they have to play down this stretch. And like you mentioned, Columbus is, way to take like a good situation and just slowly lose all goodwill, I think, that people had had towards them. I mean, there was the quote in The Athletic the other day from Tortorella talking about how, you know, they just have to spend the rest of their season playing like essentially like low event hockey. Like, we're not going to get too fancy or creative offensively. We just have to grind it out. And I'm looking at like Patrick Laine and being like, did you ever watch Patrick Laine play before this? And you're going to try to make him grind it out defensively for the next 20 something games. Like, yeah. How's that supposed to work?
Yeah, way to invigorate not only your team, but your fan base, and way to really get them excited for your team. I mean, there's obviously dysfunction there, and one of those two will not last. I just call it a hunch, Sarah. It has not been good since day one when he got there.
Yeah, it is. Every Blue Jackets fan I know is just sort of like, don't look at me. don't talk to me about my team.
I don't blame them whatsoever.
Yeah,
totally get
rough.
It.
It's rough. Absolutely. And then when we look over in the West, we have some weird movement there too. The Blues, who have been struggling kind of all season, partly due to injuries, partly due to just the way hockey is, they've won two of their last 10, barely clinging to that last playoff spot. They've been kind of in and out of it because Arizona is right behind them with 37 points. And, you know, Arizona is a team that we have kind of written off, previously, but the Blues are doing, I think, worse than anyone had expected. I mean, look no further than the fact that I think they've only won one time against the Kings this season, who have really banked some points based off of those St. Louis games. But it's kind of surprising to see them struggling as much as they are against teams that I didn't think that they would struggle against.
And the other thing too is their home record sucks. Like, I know there's not a lot of fans in buildings right now, but that is poor, regardless of atmosphere or trying to entertain your fans. At 4-8-4, mm-hmm. heading into action on a Tuesday night for a team that's, you know, expected to be in the mix as a contender and in that conversation, you can't have four mm-hmm. wins out of 16 on home ice to this point in the season as we're in the stretch drive. A road record is great, don't get me wrong, but that's not good, and that's shining a light on some of their deficiencies. And Binnington's been, I don't know, I mean, I think he's more into getting involved with the fake fisticuffs. I mean, mm-hmm. it's almost silly to see some of his shenanigans, but ever since he's come onto the stage, you know, he has a certain way about himself. And when he doesn't want to play goalie really well, he seems to want to get involved in other things. And I don't know how much that helps, but yeah, this is a surprise to me. I don't know if it's sustainable for the Coyotes. It would be a great story if it was, but St. Louis might just, you know, pull up its bootstraps and get to work and actually buckle down and figure out how to push itself into the postseason. And look at Minnesota all of a sudden, basically mm-hmm, locking mm-hmm. up a playoff spot. What the hell?
Yeah.
What the
yeah.
hell, Sarah?
Yeah, they're the team ridiculous. That we thought was going to maybe be on the outs, and instead they have, largely on the back of getting some good goaltending from Cam Talbot and, of course, Kaprizov, who's been crazy for them this season. Like, yeah, they're in there. And I feel like if St. Louis may end up getting in just out of attrition of yeah. Arizona sort of fading down the stretch, the Kings, as much as I was hoping for them to sneak in there, have done so poorly against the Sharks of all teams that, you know, I have downgraded my hopes from maybe they'll sneak in to, let's look at the draft lottery. So St. Louis might just get it just because everyone else below them sort of fails out of the playoffs, which yeah. is kind of the way it's been, at least in the Pacific for a while, is that teams aren't getting in necessarily because they're great. They're getting in because all three California teams are bad. Arizona has been bad. So it's like, congratulations, here's your playoff spot.
Yeah, it's been a quarter century since mm-hmm. California teams have been this bad. I think, yeah. what was it, 96 was the last time mm-hmm. all three California teams did not make the postseason. Last year it happened. And we're on the verge of seeing it one more time. Yikes.
Yeah, it is rough in California, but there's a better day coming for many of us.
Absolutely.
In the future. Well, thank you for chatting today about some movement with players, some movement with teams. And of course, we're getting closer to the trade deadline, so we're going to have all sorts of big news coming over the next couple of weeks. For people who want to find you online, follow your work, where can they find you?
Sarah, it is always a pleasure. You can find me at Tom Gazzola, 2 Z's in there, Z's if you're in Canada. And you could catch my stuff on TSN 1260. Now we're doing stuff with our TV station. TSN is tied in with CTV, the network. And so I do some stuff with CTV Edmonton, where I used to anchor sports 11 years ago. So it's like this full circle blast from the past, but it's a lot of fun. And from time to time on the NHL Network.
All right. And I am on Twitter at Right Said Sarah. The show's on Twitter at Locked on NHL Pods. Of course, available wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you're following, subscribe to the show, tell all of your hockey buddies about it, and make sure you come back tomorrow and all week long for more hockey talk here on Locked on NHL, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.